This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
All right. Welcome back. Episode number 130, Four Train Savages podcast. Rob, it has been a hot minute. The streets have been quiet, but some stuff is going on. We got some news. A little injury bug is hitting the Yanks already. Certain someone's getting keys to the city. What's going on, dude? Happy January 18th.
Yes, it's been a while. It's been almost a month since we've been on, and there hasn't been any real noteworthy news. I've been basking in the glory, I guess, of enjoying my Giants for a while, so that's kind of held me over till baseball season. But
I got to watch the Jets downfall.
So we had some entertaining football down the stretch, more so than we've ever had in the past years with our New York football teams. But baseball is closely approaching. I think are we a month away from pitchers and catchers, or what's the number countdown?
I think it's closer to 3 weeks. I think what I saw yesterday was the 20th, but that was like a general number for all of baseball. So I imagine teams are.
Yeah, they have their.
Like, they got to be within like a couple days or something. I think we're closer to 3 weeks than a month, though.
Yeah, I think we're going to have baseball soon, which is dope. I mean, opening day, March 30th against
the. See Rodon and Pinstripes.
The San Francisco Giants. Yeah, Giants are going to be looking jelly from across the way. So I am.
I still feel bad for the Giants, dude. Yeah. It kind of stinks for them.
And how about, dude, in this time, Carlos Correa went from being a Giant to a Met, now to back with the Twins. So that was insane. Obviously, we're a Yankees podcast, so we're not going to go in depth with that, but that was pretty insane baseball news just to see.
It's something we've never seen. Ever. Three teams a dude signed with?
I made that meme that we posted on Twitter. It was like talking bingo. He was literally playing team bingo, just going from team to team. So I've never seen that dude.
So
he
wild.
Signed with one team, signed here. So and
that leg or ankle must be pretty banged up.
It makes
Google's telling me February 13th, by the way.
It makes you definitely, I think, from now on, not just Met fans or Giants fans, but every baseball fan should say, wait for the medicals. But obviously, I think it was a certain in this particular circumstance, we've never seen it like this, I don't think. I can't remember in my memory. So, but yeah, a lot of stuff happening, dude. A lot of stuff happening. I guess we should start with I'd say the Frankie Montas news was the biggest one.
It's definitely the biggest.
So,
it's.
Frankie Montas.
Is there a word to describe it?
I would definitely describe the Montas injury as unfortunate, because he could have potentially come back, and we were talking about how he has the less pressure on him as the fifth starter. He obviously had a really bad stretch towards the end of the year, his whole time. He had a few good games here and there, but it was really like a time for him, especially in a contract year for him, and to really make a statement, say, I can pitch here. I'm ready to take on New York. And it's just another setback with the shoulder. So,
unfortunate, like you said. Disappointing comes to mind, Rob. One, because, like you said, pretty good upside in the fifth spot, which I heard a take yesterday. And I kind of agree with it. Someone said, if you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I like him in the fifth spot, that's like the meanest compliment you could get.
It is.
I love him on the bench.
it's pretty close to the bench, for sure.
Yeah. But it sucks, Rob, to me, because the Yankees traded for him knowing that he's had a lot of shoulder issues. That's fine. He pitched for us for a little bit. He stunk, whatever. He goes on the IL with shoulder inflammation in September. So I'm not following what's going on exactly. So he had shoulder inflammation in September. Like, I understand the timeline, but I don't get it how it's happening again in January.
This is why we need a medical expert to come in, but we don't have one.
And the fact that they're ruling him out until May with shoulder inflammation, that's strange to me. I feel like if we're in the middle of a season and Gerrit Cole hits the IL with shoulder inflammation, 15-day IL, something like that. So I think it's more than that. Who knows if we see Montas for the year? Like, I don't know.
I definitely agree with that. I think there could be something going on, especially with this being a recurring thing of is it could it pop up again? It's one of the it's one of the things I have a concern with, especially with DJ avoiding the surgery, which is good, but you don't know, could that flare up again? It's like the same thing when you have those lingering injuries. It's very scary. So, yeah, I mean, the way that it impacts the rotation, like we said, for him to be in that fifth spot with less pressure on his shoulders, you would say, okay, this could be a very high upside, very high ceiling. But I don't think the fall – I made this point to you. I don't think the fallback on Domingo or Clark Schmidt, however they shake out, is really the worst thing ever. I think it's disappointing, obviously, because we wanted to see Montas live up to even the trade standards. But it's not going to be a drastic – I don't think it's going to be a drastic fall off. Obviously, we would hope that the ceiling is much higher. But I would say this, that from what we saw of Montas towards the end of the year and just some of those – like the Milwaukee start and some of these instances – you could, I really think you can make the argument, at least when you're talking about him and Domingo, that his floor for where he could fall off is not as bad as what we've seen of Domingo.
That's fair.
Domingo pitched very well in those last 3 months, and I know he comes with a lot of baggage for Yankee fans, understandably so, but he performed well. So I don't think it's the, I don't really think it's the biggest issue in the world. I do agree with you, though. It's really going to be interesting to see if this continues to linger. And it would be really unfortunate because this is his contract year, and he got his ARB money, which was 7.5. So
Trevino got 4 too. So we're paying $12 million that the A's weren't paying last year.
Yeah. So that's actually also another topic we should get into because
we can go through some of the ARB stuff.
The ARB stuff, but yeah. Go ahead.
In terms of Herman, dude, I mean, pretty. I'm in lockstep with you there. I personally am one of those Yankee fans where if he has, I mean, you know, you've seen it with me the last 3 years. If he has one bad start, I'm be like, you know, get this POS off the team. I don't want him here anymore. But from a baseball perspective, yeah, his floor is pretty consistent for the most part. You know, obviously he had that big blow up, like bullpen outing in Houston a couple years ago. But he's been, like you said, his floor is pretty solid. I don't think this changes the rotation much. The only thing is yes, Montas' upside is a really good 2-3 starter. I mean, not too long ago, Rob, we traded for him, and we were like, cool, Montas is going to be the guy behind Cole.
Yeah.
Now he, we're talking, wild. You know, is he going to crack?
What a course exactly. of a half a year. Holy
exactly.
crap.
Is he going to crack the 5-man rotation? So, yeah, I don't know, dude. I hope – I mean, you need pitchers.
Oh,
so
no, I definitely –
it sucks to lose any starting pitcher.
Yeah, I
– and there will be more that we lose, too, which is scary.
Yeah, I think
– someone's got to go.
You definitely need to bring in some more starting pitchers. But in terms of – because there – unfortunately, there probably will be some other injuries that hit us in the starting pitching category, as we know with you know, Severino's injury prone, but we don't know what. Obviously, Rodon has stayed healthy in the past 2 years, but we don't know he's had an injury history. So, you know, we hope that Cole stays as consistent, and as well as Nestor kind of started to break down a little bit last year.
Yeah, with the groin and stuff.
But I don't. I think that they will make some moves, but I don't really see any crazy significant moves. It's good to have. It's good to have a guys like Herman and Clark Schmidt still in the mix, and then obviously if I don't know what's Luis Gil's. I haven't checked in. What's his timeline of recovery? Is he still like on pace? He wouldn't come back to like at the earliest like June or July or something.
When
like that,
when did he get Tommy John? It was Tommy John,
yeah.
Right? Luis Gil,
I think it was June update. Because I remember they announced it when I was at that Josh Donaldson White Sox game when the whole Jackie thing happened. And I think that's when they announced the Luis Gil, because he had gotten pulled from like a few, and I think that was in June. So like that would be a whole year. So I don't know what his timeline would be, but like I would hope that they'll have some arms available. So I'm not crazy scared now, but that could change.
Like I would like to see them go pick up Michael Walker, honestly. Like something
yeah,
like that
bad.
Could be cool.
Yeah.
Someone to just that can pump innings if you need it. It's looking like May 22nd, so pretty good memory by you, Rob. Is when it looks like Heel got injured last year. So What's the timeline for TJ? Is it 12 to 18 months until you're back playing?
Yeah, so
we're talking the back half of the season at best. Yeah, probably. Because that's kind of similar to when Tyler Glass now got injured and he returned in like September last year. So yeah, I don't know. It would be nice. I'm gonna play a little, you know, mean ball here, I guess. It would be nice if we had JP Sears on the roster, Rob. Ken Waldichuk.
It is it literally is insult to further injury when this news for Montas came.
It sucks because at the time I didn't fault the trade at all. I was very happy about acquiring Montas. You know, we were runner up or whatever for Castillo. So you pivot and you go to Montas, but now, you know, Montas stinks in New York. He's been hurt twice and he's barely even pitched. You're like, wow, I would love to have JP Sears and Ken Waldichuk on this team for the next 6 years. But we don't. So pitching is thin. I think it's thin across the board. Maybe I shouldn't say that. It's not thin, but the depth in AAA is thin.
Yes.
That's what I'll say.
Yes. Okay, next, there are actually quite a few storylines we got to talk about. The Yankees bring in Brian Sabian as well as Omar Minaya as special advisors to Brian Cashman. Brian Sabian was the general manager for the San Francisco Giants for those three World Series winning teams. And actually, I believe he started his journey through baseball in front office with the Yankees, I'm pretty sure, as well as Omar Minaya, who was involved with the Mets. Had a heavy, involvement with scouting for them and dealing with. I think he actually was at one point like the assistant general manager. I think he was the general manager at some point, but I don't know. The Mets had a bunch of different stuff going on with their front office during the Wilpon days. But he has a relationship with Brian Cashman, so they both come in as special advisors. And I don't think it's not gonna have the seismic shift of philosophy with the Yankees, but I think it's a significant, noteworthy move to talk about because it shows you that the Yankees say, okay, maybe we should get some different perspectives or some fresh perspectives in this front office, even if they're just advisors, because me and you talk about it all the time. We're saying, like, who are these guys that are making the decisions when it comes pulling up these guys and sending down these guys or not giving them playing time?
And starting IKF 142 games.
And we say, who are these guys making the decisions? So I think it's to put some faces to what we could see and that these guys are credible baseball people. Brian Sabian obviously won a lot of World Series with the Giants. Omar Minaya is very well known for his ability to scout talent, and he knows what he's looking at in a lot of respects. So I think it's very good to get these guys in the fold and give Brian Cashman has a relationship with both of them. So I think it can only really mean good things from here on out, and it'll give us a good little shakeup, is what I think.
Yeah, I like it too. And, you know, I'm big on the, you know, I am a fan of analytics, or at least having a solid understanding of them and incorporating them in a productive way into the game. But it seems as if, you know, if I understand these two gentlemen correctly, Sabian and Minaya, they're both kind of more of the old school route, which I think can be a good mix with the current Yankees front office.
I would probably say more so, I would say, I don't even know. I mean, I don't really know him as well, but I know, like, maybe Omar would probably be more of, like, the old school, because I know he's just kind of, because he was on, like, SNY and stuff, and he would talk about talent and stuff like that. So, I don't know. But, I mean, they have a good track record, is what I would say. They've had a lot of hits. Obviously, Sabian won a lot of World Series, won an Executive of the Year, so he knows what he's doing. So,
it can't hurt if you're bringing in veteran guys to help Brian make decisions. I think that's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. So
I'll take that.
Good to see. So before we were going to hop into this, obviously the left field situation, which is interesting. There was there's some talks that the Yankees could be talking The Yankees have engaged Jurickson and Profar in some conversations, it seems, as I think John Morosi of MLB Network, I believe, was the one to – or is it J.P. Morosi or John Morosi? I think it's John Morosi.
Yeah, it is John Morosi. I'm
trying to find his Twitter.
Morosi, whatever it is. I know it's John. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, though.
But nonetheless,
he was the first one that broke the DJ news.
Yeah, so nonetheless, man, the Yankees are apparently – engaged in talks with Jurickson and Profar. So what do you think of him as a potential left field guy to come in?
Hey, man, I think it's as simple as this right now, honestly. Anyone that – I think we're both kind of under the consensus that we would prefer – correct me if I'm wrong, Rob – we would prefer to have Oswaldo in that, like, ultra utility role. Is that what you – would you prefer him to do that?
Yes.
And I'd rather have an established left fielder. So – if we want Oswaldo in this big utility role, then I think bringing in anyone that's not Aaron Hicks is an improvement, unfortunately, because we know how this is going to go if Hicks starts 2 games a week. It's going to be the same deal. And let me get to Profar's baseball reference page right now. Is he a lefty?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a switch hitter, too. Switch hitter. He throws right, but switch hitter.
He could kind of play everywhere, too. That's very interesting. Played 152 games last year, Rob. 111 OPS plus, 391 slugging, 330 on base, 240 batting average. Doesn't steal much, not much pop, 15 homers. Listen, it's kind of what you want the floor of Hicks to be.
It's an improvement.
It's an improvement. It's anything out there is an improvement. He's not great, but he's a body. I think that's what he is. He's a body that's not Aaron Hicks, and it's literally not. I'm not even trying to be mean to Aaron Hicks right now, but you just can't go into it with him being the left fielder and Oswaldo being the quote unquote backup left fielder. At least make a little left field competition, dude.
Yeah, that's what I would want, and I think I hope that these rumors are true, and maybe we could potentially see him sign, because that's the hand that they've dealt themselves, I guess, at this point. Now, striking out on some left fielders or them not wanting to come here. So, I would welcome it. I think he's an athlete. I think he's 29 now, so he made an impact, obviously, with San Diego last year as they advanced to the NLCS. So he's been a part of some good teams. So I think, if that's
really kind of his best year of his career last year.
Yeah, honestly. So you're catching him at a good point. And I think that it would be a step up from what we're potentially looking at, which is I would hope a competition for left field, but there is a world where I unfortunately said this, you know, earlier in the offseason. Like,
I hate that you're going to be right, Rob.
There is a world where Hicks is in left,
and we're living in it, Rob. But that's the world we're living in.
I don't want that to happen, and I want Jurickson Profar, hopefully, or someone else playing left field. Because, like, I do want Oswaldo in the utility role, but if it comes down to it, man.
Oh, I'd rather have him start in left field. Yeah, exactly. I think we're saying Cabrera in the utility role is more for just like flexibility. If Donaldson's terrible, if IKF is terrible for a little bit, if DJ gets banged up, if Kleber gets banged up, stuff like that. Because in no way, dude, can you just hand the left field role to Hicks and have Cabrera be him battling for it, because if not, it's kind of Hicks and Florial. Like, is that it? I think that's your next outfielder.
Well, like, that's the thing I've always said with the Yankees is
Florial has no options left either. So if he gets called up, he has to stay up. We can't send him back down,
and
or you release him.
We've always just wanted the team to, even if it does come down to Hicks and Oswaldo or Florial or what. I really just am saying I hope that they embrace a competition, and that's the way they look at it. They're not handing out positions other than right field, DH, first base, catcher, and or center field. Those are the only locked up positions. The only locked up positions in my mind, which is kind of concerning at this point, dude. You got to really think about it. The only locked up positions are Bader and center, Judge and right, DH Stanton, and then obviously he'll mix back and forth. And then you would think Glaber at second, but that could also be a variable depending on what they do. And then
Trevino and Rizzo.
Rizzo and Trevino. And that's really the only locked up positions we have. And then everything else is a variable, which
yeah.
Tell me if you agree. Coming into the season, maybe you would say one at most two positions you'd be saying to yourself is like a variable. But we have three, potentially four, depending on second base.
I get what you're saying. I think it's not like we don't have, because if Donaldson sucks, we have the internal replacement to replace that we're comfortable
but
with.
But we just don't. It's still going to take some time. I'm just saying it's just.
They're giving a leash still to people that don't deserve a leash.
Yes, correct.
Which is annoying. Like, for the love of God, dude. We're paying IKF $6 million this year. Whatever. Not my money. Don't care. Just don't have to play him because of that.
Yeah. Also, too, if the Jerks and Profar, if they don't make a deal, I would say this is because the rumors were, Brian Cashman won't be really making any trades, any signings heading into spring training, which is, I think, like 70 some odd days away. So it's closely approaching. But we have to remember that they did make a deal for, which now looking back is just painful, for Donaldson and IKF in March. I think it was the deal went down on like March 12th, 13th, around there.
That was after the CBA, though.
It was after the CBA, and it also came after, this would be if it happened. That was their one big move last year. If they did it now, it would be coming after other moves. But
I'm surprised they haven't made a trade, Rob. I really am.
Yeah, but like the name of the game in my mind is they could still do something, but I don't know. I would hope that they make a Profar move or they make an improvement. I don't want to say significant improvement, but an improvement. I know people are trying to make, or Yankee fans would ask for significant improvements, but at this point we're probably not going to get that.
Yeah, that's what we want. Like you said, at this point it's... I don't even know if we can say, like, anything is an improvement from Hicks, like I've said, but there needs to be competition. It can't be Aaron's our left fielder. Maybe Florial will be in the mix. Yeah. It can't be that.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's annoying. Very annoying.
The other noteworthy news, you talked about the arbitration. So Glaber was the only one to not avoid arbitration. His number, I'm just looking back and see what the number was set at. So Glaber's camp wanted him at, Glaber's camp filed at 10.2 and the Yankees filed at 9.7, so a $5 million difference. Listen, if they haggled Judge last year with the arbitration money for, I think it was $2 million, obviously this is less. But this will be, it could play out into the season. But I don't know. It'll be interesting because he was the only one that didn't avoid it as the rest of, like, Montas came to a deal.
Yeah.
All the rest, Nestor, everyone came to
a deal.
It's because
I bet they want to go. I bet Glaber is still so butthurt about the trade rumors from last year. He just wants to go into the courtroom and the arbitration hearing, and he wants to be like, hey, I was good for 5 months. And the Yankees want to be like, well, you were absolutely the worst player on the planet for a month.
Yeah. Well, like last year when we were talking about, how could the Yankees come into the court and talk about Judge being bad? I think it's,
They
have a little bit more meat to chew on when it comes to Glaber.
Oh, yeah. We've heard the Jeter interviews about his arm.
Yeah,
dude,
they insulted Jeter, bro.
He's like, it's not a good feeling to go in there. So, hey, I don't know. Glaber doesn't take adversity well, so we've seen so far. But,
yeah, so.
I don't know. I guess, it's interesting to see what they'll do with that.
I don't know. I think they're going to hold steady on it. I think it'll end up they'll have to go to the court during
I hope they do. I really do. I would love to see what kind of nonsense comes out of that.
Just the drama. It'd be like watching Yankees reality television.
Yankees reality
can we
TV,
get can we get a camera in the courtroom just to see, you know? That'd be like,
I would like
Yankees Judge Judy, have Aaron Judge as the judge or something. I don't know. It'd be funny.
Yep. Glaber walks up with his representative his representative is Nestor or Juan.
That would be something. That would be something. Interesting conversation. I saw this circulating on Twitter, so I wanted to talk about it. What would you think about if the Yankees decided to extend Harrison Bader now?
Define the extension, because we need an outfielder. But I don't want like a 5-year extension. Like, I'd sign him for 2 more years.
Yeah, that's
maybe 3, I guess. But Dominguez is closer than a lot of us think. Like, he could be in the mix for center field next year.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Especially starting in Double A right now.
Yeah, the reason why I just like pose the question now is we just see what we have in left field at the moment, and just now we're lacking of outfielders, and it would be easier, obviously, if Stanton played left field, but he'll probably
and it would be cheaper
playing that like sparingly.
If Bader has a really good year, I mean, all of a sudden he's demanding $20 million a year. Yeah. You maybe get him for 15 now.
Yeah. But I think also, too, we have to factor in that he has had an injury history of what he had with St. Louis. So,
play the whole year.
I don't know. Let him play the whole year. I just think it's an interesting conversation because, you know, the Yankees don't have a center fielder, or they don't have a slew of outfielders as they have, but, you know, and or when we thought that at certain times that they may have, but,
they're thin on outfield outside of this year. Really, they are. Besides, it's literally Judge and Hicks. That's the outfield after.
I mean, an outfield of Dominguez, Bader, and Judge would be pretty cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I honestly don't know how well Dominguez plays the outfield, but I imagine it's pretty well.
I mean, he's an athlete. I'd say his bat.
Roman left dude for all I care.
His bat is definitely probably his strong suit, but.
Oh yeah, but I remember when he was being advertised and stuff as a 5-tool player. You know, the next Mike Trout, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
So I imagine he's pretty good in the outfield.
That's died down significantly, which is interesting to see. Remember
it? Yeah, he had a pretty decent year last year. He didn't like blow it out of the water, but he did fine. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't think the Yankees will do it at all, but it would be cool if they're like, if randomly it was like, hey, we've signed Bader to like a 2-year $32 million extension, 16 a year. Like, I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. There's not many center fielders, honestly. Like, there's not many decent center fielders, and I'd consider him decent.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. All right, so those were some of the big noteworthy stories. I don't know if we said this before, but the Atlanta Braves got Lucas Litke, so he is now officially off to Atlanta. Speaking of international prospects. The Yankees signed number 9 ranked international prospect, Brandon Maiella. I think I'm saying it correctly. Brandon Maiella. It's like M-A-Y-E-A. So I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But yeah, I think they signed him for a $4 million deal, somewhere around there. He's supposed to be a real speedster, is what I saw through headlines. I'd be lying to you if I acted like I knew international prospects. Obviously, we'll have to see, you know, footage and more stuff of him playing to really get a judgment. And even at that point, we'd really need to just see him at a professional level to really get a gauge. But Yankees have been making some splashes in past years with these international dudes. So
they love them, dude.
Yeah. So what was the shortstop that they got last year? I forget what his name was. They signed him. Let's see.
I don't remember his name, but he was the top shortstop.
We need
prospect
to get Eli Fishman back on this podcast so he could help us with these prospects.
Yeah, literally, we should get Eli back on. But yeah, it says big speedster, 17-year-old on a $4.3 million deal.
Roderick Arias deal. Was the one. He was 18.
Yeah.
That was the kid.
Number
a ton of shortstops and with so many shortstops in the prospect stuff for the Yankees.
Yeah, he was a second-ranked player out of all the eligible players allowed to sign this cycle. Whatever that means. 5'11", 170 pounds. Yeah, they don't say much. Watch him run. Good center fielder. He's a big speedster. I guess we'll have to be on the lookout for him in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. So that was a big noteworthy piece of news. And then lastly, Aaron Judge will be getting the key to the city, I believe, this week from the mayor of New York. So That's pretty cool. I think I saw something. Cool. I saw something that there were only a few athletes that have gotten the key to the city, and the reason why it stood out to me is because they, like, I think they won championships, and there are a bunch of jerks in the comments who, Judge doesn't deserve it. He doesn't have a championship. Those guys have championships. I'm just like,
well, just wait on it.
just wait on it. So yeah, I think I'm trying to find it. I want to see who the other ones were. I'm trying to find this graphic. But yeah, dude, the Yankees started tweeting out. Oh, here it is. Bucky Dent, Muhammad Ali, Joe DiMaggio, Don Mattingly, and then Sarah Hughes, which is an Olympic gold medalist. So, I mean, there's one on there that hasn't won a championship in Mattingly, so all the haters can just shut up. But that's pretty cool nonetheless.
I don't even know. Why are people hating? Like, what does it matter? It's just like a thing.
Bro, it came with the captain thing, too. Why does he deserve to be a captain? As well, Don Mattingly was a captain. It's just they pushed the goalposts. And honestly, I do think at some point it is a generational thing. And it goes both ways sometimes, which is fine.
Oh, definitely.
But, oh, man. I don't know. But, yeah, I think that's all the news I think we had, unless I missed anything, Tyler. I think we covered all the bases.
No, I think that's just about it. We still have – we got a lot to learn about this team.
Yeah.
In the next couple months, I think hopefully they allow there to be some spring training competition. I hope they don't go in and they're like, you know, this is what's happening. This is the shortstop.
Oh,
Cashman
sure.
did say Volpe could win the job too.
Yes.
Which is very interesting.
I think that was just to get him hungry because his, I think what?
Probably. I still think it's Peraza's job.
Oh, I think it's Peraza's job. I think the reason Cashman said that was to really get him hungry because I think the date for him to get another year of eligibility is like in April. So we know the Yankees don't F around with calling up people before.
But if they had plans to bring him up this year, I could see them giving him a shot. Like if he absolutely rakes in spring training.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, you kind of have to, I feel like. You don't have to give him the job, but you can give him a role.
They would be – he would certainly be twisting their arm at a extreme level.
That's my third
base. And honestly, if he did that, that would be sick because –
yeah, that would be great. Hey, it's a win-win for us. Trade one of them if you don't want him.
So I'm excited for spring training games, even though, you know, it is spring training. But I'm excited, man. I'm getting the juice going. But that's it for episode number 130. We appreciate you guys for listening. Be on the lookout next week. We have a very special guest for the next pod coming up, so keep an eye out for that. As always, subscribe. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. Head over to the YouTube channel, subscribe. Follow us at 4Savages on Twitter, at 4TrainSavages on Instagram, as well as the TikTok. Go follow us there. And lastly, I will leave it off with this. I hate the Philadelphia Eagles as a New York Giants fan. Let's go, New York Giants. I need a dub this weekend. It'd be great. Keep the ride going.
Hey, I'm rooting for you, bro.
Let's go, G-Men. I know we got some listeners probably that are also Giants fans, so appreciate you guys for being on board. Let's go, Giants. Screw the Eagles. Let's go. Thanks for listening.